Good afternoon and welcome to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with me, Dave Johnson-Rayner. I can't decide what to call him this week. My grey-haired friend, Mr. John Woodcock. Hello, John, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm so glad you kept that clean.
Very nearly went very, very wrong.
Hello, mate, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm sniffing a bit, so apologies in advance if we keep going. Throughout the show, it's not always nice to listen to, but
I'm really feeling for you. Yeah. Did that come out right? Did that sound good? Did it feel like there was a lot of love there?
Yeah, I felt the love. So, how's the last 2 weeks been for you? Been good?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Really busy, sort of, you know, doing what I normally do, sort of training headhunters for a tier one bank across the world, which is always nice.
Is that what Barclays are calling themselves these days?
Right, it is a tier one bank. That's what it is. And AJ Solutions is moving along rather nicely as well. So, we've got some excellent new sort of partners that we're working with, which means that we can provide marketing, we can provide print, we can provide LinkedIn training, we can provide risk assessments online for the regulatory sort of environment. So, if you're a financial advisor, an insurance broker, bank building society, car dealership, you know, anything to do with any anti-money laundering, we can provide you with a risk assessment as well. So, yeah, going all right, mate. Busy. Getting about 2 hours sleep a night. Good.
Who sleep when you're dead, John?
Oh, yeah, and I do my bit with Koi Sports, so I enjoy that as well. Yeah.
That's all good.
Right. How are things with you?
Oh, mate, they're good, yeah. Sitting in the house, looking out at the sunshine. you wouldn't want to see anyway, but I'm wearing a woolly hat in this spring weather, which is absolutely ridiculous. I've got a jumper on, I've got layers on, like the mother used to tell me to do. Layer up, David, layer up, just to keep the cold off my chest. But yeah, mate, we're doing some great stuff with Koi Sports at the moment. Had a really interesting conversation with a really, really authentic person about looking to replicate what we do here in the UK in Dubai. So nice. We could be taking ourselves into Asia, which is good.
Excellent stuff.
It's very, very different over there. There's five charities, and that's all there's ever allowed to be, five charities. So if you're doing charitable work within the UAE, you have to try and find a way around it. So,
wow,
I know,
that's interesting.
But
there's a conversation off radio for me and you. Be good. Yeah. So, we've got a nice young man that we've invited onto the show.
Yes, it's going to be brilliant.
There's a few people that know. I kind of know him a little bit, I suppose. I have the odd pint every now and again, but he's a good mate of mine. In a very short space of time, he has become quite a good mate. And he does an amazing job in the job that he does, but he's doing an amazing amount of work for charity. And I think this event that he's set himself this year, some would say it's legendary. Some would say it's mad, but I think, in all seriousness, he's an absolute legend, and this is why I wanted to bring him on.
Yeah, what a great choice. When you said it, I thought to myself, stroke of genius, Mr. Woodcock, stroke of genius, because last year he set himself a tough challenge, didn't he?
Yes.
And then he thought, oh, let's do it again and then do some more. As well.
Absolutely. Go on, tell him who's on. Go on, do your thing. Yeah.
So we'd like to welcome to the show, and we're very, very, very proud to have him join us. It's Darren Bradbury. Hi, Darren.
Afternoon, gents. How are you? What an amazing introduction.
If you can pay the money to me in a bit, mate, that'd be great. Thanks.
I have to admit, Dave. I have to admit, Dave, I wondered who you were introducing first, but then when you said my grey-haired friend, I knew it obviously wasn't me. So.
Yeah. You're far from that, aren't you, Darren?
Yeah, I'll have nowhere left at this rate, mate.
All the best people have no hair, Darren. All the best people have no hair.
But that was a very nice introduction. I appreciate that. Thank
That's
you.
That's all right. So you're housebound at the moment, aren't you, mate?
I am housebound. Not for much longer, I hope, but yes, I am. I've got the dreaded COVID a few days back.
Day 4 in the Big Brother house.
And it's a long 4 days, let me tell you.
So for those that don't know you, what's your daytime job? What do you really do for a living?
My daytime job is, let's try the fancy way of explaining it. I make families and people and businesses financially resilient, and do that by essentially protecting what they love the most, whether that be their families, their work. Yeah, that's the nice way.
Okay.
The real way of explaining it is I'm an insurance man.
All our favourite. All
right, and everybody tuned out now.
But you know what? I've been doing it on March the 31st. It will be 26 years. And
oh, you don't look old enough.
I know I don't. I know. I appreciate that. But I love what I do. I genuinely do love what I do. I get a bit of a kick out of it. And in all honesty, I'm too long in the tooth to go and try and do something else now.
Well, at least you're honest with yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Me and Dave, we'll talk through a few bits, but we wanted to bring you on and have a chat about you and what you, you know, what you're doing from protecting families, protecting, individuals, because of your day job. But we also wanted to sort of bring you on and have a little bit of a chat about this now infamous challenge that you've given yourself, which I think it's almost got a life of its own now, hasn't it?
Grown legs.
It's really strange because as soon as I start talking about it, I can feel myself grinning from ear to ear. And it is a nervous grin, let me tell you, because I am scared to death what's coming up in the next, it'll be 3 weeks on Friday the latter part of it kicks in. But I am genuinely scared to death.
Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing. And obviously we'll touch on this a little bit later on in the show as well. Yeah. But I just thought it would give us a great way of sort of introducing it for a little bit later on. So what are you doing?
It in a very short way, if you're going to touch on it later, it stemmed on the back of last year's challenge, which David's obviously already mentioned. It stemmed on the back of that challenge, and it was a case of, right, what can I do next? And I can't even blame it on alcohol. I literally just sat there one day and thought, right, okay, so let's try cycling from here to here. And the here is Stamford Bridge, Chelsea's football ground. And the other here is St. James's Park, Newcastle's ground. We dubbed it Thames to Tyne, the Thames to Tyne Challenge. And I'm going to try and do it in 3 days. And I'm still messing with the route to try. I don't mind admitting I'm trying to find the flattest route, which is not easy, bearing in mind it's all uphill. It's so far, I think the shortest I can get it so far is 325 miles in 3 days, all ending when Leicester City play Newcastle.
So, wow, mate, that's a lot of miles per day.
It's a lot of miles today, a day. And yeah, for somebody that doesn't cycle, despite the challenge that I did last year, for somebody that doesn't cycle, is asthmatic and a little bit overweight as well. I know we had a conversation a few days ago, John, and I'm nervous that I've maybe bitten off more than I can chew this time. But hey, listen, I'll do it. I'm allowing 10 to 12 hours a day on a bike. Mm-hmm. If it ends up being 14 to 16 hours a day on the bike, then I'll do it. I've got no issues with that. It just could be a little bit more painful than I anticipate.
Saddle sores.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Bring a talcum powder, yeah?
Yeah, I've got all sorts of, you wouldn't even believe what these creams are called, but I've got all sorts of creams. I've got padded shorts. And, honestly, you name it, I've got it. Yet, weirdly, the saddles on these bikes are the smallest things you've ever seen. How they, they're built, well, they're clearly not built for comfort, but I've been told by the experts that don't change your saddle to a wider, more comforting seat because it doesn't work at all.
Because they are, they're like tiny.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
I've looked at them, just winced.
Yeah.
What? Why are they so small? Is it aerodynamic? Is it less, as minimal weight as you can?
I genuinely don't know, and I'm not sure I can actually say on radio.
I reckon this is a conversation that doesn't go on a radio show that goes out at 5 o'clock on a Monday.
Put it this way, if I put too much of that cream on it, I'm in danger of losing the seat.
Oh dear. Oh, so I knew this was going to be a giggle. I knew it. And to be fair, we've been winding you up all day with some ridiculous comments.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. You know, song lyrics, everything. Radio Bradders. Because all we hear is Radio Bradders. From now on, that'll be an earworm. Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my playlist for when I'm riding around. I'm going to put Queen on the playlist.
What, every day we're pedalling.
Yes. Oh, wait, I don't know who that is that sings that. Is it LMFAO? Is it or something like that?
We sound very old now.
So, yeah.
Who is it? Who are they?
Yeah. So that's the challenge. It's
I think it's perfect. And you're doing this for a good cause as well, aren't you? Not just because you fancy sort of, you know, getting on a bike that's got a micro seat and riding sort of, you know, 20 hours a day just for the love of it. It's actually for a cause.
Yes, it is. It's for a charity that I've got to know quite well over the last sort of 12 months called Memphis. Memphis is a Leicestershire. They basically support families with disabled children throughout Leicestershire and Rutland. And as I say, I've got to know them quite well, literally from just deciding to deliver a few Christmas presents when I was a little bit quiet, and a switch was sort of flicked, and that was that. I was hooked.
They're an amazing charity, aren't they? They really are an amazing charity.
They're brilliant.
They are, and I see somebody as a charity. It's an organisation that I've had an affinity with for 7 or 8 years, because I've done stuff with them for them. I even supported in an event some years ago. We did a what we call a Memphis Mile, and I sponsored it. And that was going back probably a good 6 or 7 years now. I love Memphis Bits as a charity and organisation. We've got some really good friends that work in there as well. And what they do as an organisation is outstanding. Yeah. I know we're going to go to some adverts in a moment, which means that Dave's going to sort of do some break dancing, I think, this week. Absolutely, yeah. So if there's any photos of that come out on social media, he will deny it's him probably. We'll touch on a little bit more about Memphis, and we'll get their contact details in the next part of the show. I think it's nearly time for Dave to take us into the adverts.
Well, we all love adverts here on our show, because we love Spectrum On Air. We love all of the advertisers that are out there that support us and allow us to do this. So let's go to a commercial break, and we will see you shortly. Hello, and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air, where I'm joined today, of course, by John Woodcock and our special guest, Mr. Darren Bradbury, who works in insurance. How about that? But he's a very, very exciting insurance man, and he does lots and lots of really interesting things. So,
and the tumbleweed that went across then.
I worked in insurance for a while, you know. I worked at an insurance broker called East Lake and Beechel.
I know them.
I'm not name dropping because I hated every minute of the 4 years I was there. In fact, it was where my hate for admin began. Anyway, that's a different story. Again, off air for when you need to get to sleep quite quickly. Insurance, Dan. So how did you get into it?
Wow. It was, it'll be 26 years ago. At the end of this month, I first went to a Leicestershire company, literally just for an interview, because I'd been in a job for 7 years, which was nothing to do with insurance and mortgages and things like that. So I went for interview experience, because interviews, when I was in the first job, it was a case that they looked you up and down and said, yeah, you'll do, when can you start? So I was in that for 7 years, and interviews had changed quite a lot in that time. So I went to this this place for an interview just to get some experience and see how much they changed. And I ended up being there 20 years. They paid very well. And I started off in a telemarketing department, and just progressed and just sort of went from sort of telemarketing into mortgages and protection. Then did something very similar to what you do, John, and I started actually training people in mortgages and insurance within this particular company. I packed up mortgages, but I always went back, irrelevant of what I was doing within that industry. I always ended up going back to insurance because it's where my passion is. And I know we joke about tumbleweeds and things like that. And I'm the same. I do genuinely love the job. There's amazing sides to it. And there are some horrible sides to it when you see what happens to families and things like that. But I do genuinely get a kick out of what I do. I love it.
I mean, I get it. And I know me and you have had this conversation because, you know, once upon a time I used to sell mortgages and financial planning and et cetera, et cetera. So I get it. And, you know, like Dave touched on earlier on, it's, you know, there's a bit of paperwork that goes with that kind of stuff, funnily enough. It kind of gets under your skin a little bit. And, yeah. You know, I fell out of love with it massively and then fell into recruitment. Nobody goes into a career in recruitment. You fall into it. I parked it for a little bit, but you know what I'm doing now is that I don't do it, I train it. That's being said, I do headhunt stuff, but you know, it's a little bit more specialized. But I think that what you do, and you're right, absolutely right with what you're saying, is that you it's such a great job opportunity to have because of what you're able to provide. And if it's done right, like you do, it's what you're able to prevent, or at least...
Absolutely.
At least provide peace of mind.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I completely understand, and I'm sure you have these conversations where you go, oh, this is a little bit expensive. What do you term as expensive, though? I think what you do is mega. So, you how long did you say you were there for? 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years. And then I was actually headhunted by a guy that I trained whilst I was there. He started up his own business in Long Eaton, and he asked me to go across and set up his protection department. Mm-hmm. So I did that and absolutely loved it. And I'm going to say this, that company will go far. They will do very, very well, but I just didn't agree with the way they were changing and the way they were dealing with their clients. And I felt that there was a certain way of doing it that I'd sort of got used to doing over a period of 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it, essentially, you know what? It was have a chat with somebody, get to know them. Because in my opinion, you can only advise on something that you actually understand and know what's going on and you've painted that picture.
Yeah.
Go away, do your research, come back and show what you found. Yeah. And this particular company decided literally just like that, that that they were going to do it all in an hour. It was literally on the phone, call them, have a chat with them, make small talk. Whilst you're making small talk, do some research. And then, you know, whilst you've got them on the phone still, then talk to them about what you found and get them to sign up. And I wasn't willing to do it. And I had morals, I have standards, and I just felt it was wrong. And that was in the middle of a pandemic, and I left.
Well, a brave move, mate. But then just we'll touch on that in just a second. But just going back, because especially the stuff that I bang on about and I bore the heebie-jeebies out of people, even you two, where I go, people buy from people.
Mm.
You've got to have a relationship. You've got to have a genuine, there's got to be some rapport. There's got to be a genuine trust. If you're going to buy something, you've got, and it's something that isn't necessarily something that you would happily pay for out your pocket month in, month out, that, you know, in the normal run of things, it's something that's out of the norm.
And yeah,
how you do that in an hour when you've got no rapport or relationship, I'd struggle with that.
I totally agree. And in the olden days, as I would call it, when I was working for the place for 20 years, we always used to say, you don't even open your laptop for the first 20 minutes. You know, you're going to sit and have a talk. You know what? You're going to find out about the kids. You're going to find out about the pets. You're going to ask about, you know, the pictures on the walls and things like that. You're going to build some rapport.
But it's still, but all of that goes towards the being able to paint that picture, tell that story.
Yeah.
So that it's not a woe is me bit. It's the, you know, what would happen, you know, if, you know, Bob, who's the husband, isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
And it sounds horrible. But in all reality, that's real life. And,
yeah,
you've got to protect what's yours, surely.
Exactly. And I don't think unless you've built up that picture and got to fully understand that person who you're talking to, then you're not in a position to actually create a need for what you're there to talk about. And ultimately, that's protecting what they love.
Yeah.
And if they don't see the need for it, they're never going to want it. They're never going to buy into it. So
yeah, well, there's got to be a want there, hasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you wanted to strike out on your own then from that point?
Or do
something?
Yes, but no. I don't know. I just felt backed into a corner at that point that, you know what, now it's a case of I know this works. This is the way to do it. And for all the reasons that we've literally just said, and I felt backed into a corner and I didn't feel comfortable with it. And as I said, I got morals, I got standards. I didn't think it was right. So I sat and had a chat with a wife one day and literally just said, look, if I'm ever going to do it, this is the time. And that was, we spoke about it in October 2020. And that was literally 6 months into the pandemic. And we sat and had a chat. And as usual, Mandy supports me with absolutely any decision. Foolishly, she supports me with any decision that I make. In November 2020, I went self-employed. And actually, it didn't really start until December 2020. But yes, I left and I went on my own.
You mad, mad fool.
Yes, scary.
I love that, though. I love that whole kind of impulse thing, but that impulse is based on the gut feeling that now's the right time. Like you said, I'm going to do it now. And that takes a full set.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine you have a mortgage.
Mm.
And I would imagine you have insurance. So there's two.
He's had a chat with himself in the mirror and spent an hour over a cup of coffee talking to himself and talking about the pet, you know, the kids and the pets, and then sold something to himself.
I did. I painted one side of my face down that side, one side, and I was like talking to myself.
I still do that now.
Actually, talking about that, because obviously you've gone out on your own. So when you've gone and done that, you've got to, that's a scary proposition to sort of go from sort of being in an office, or probably in the pandemic, but at least you've got a support mechanism around you where you've got other people to sort of go in, right, that's the road I'm going down. You've got your friends, you've got your family, they're going to support you, but then you're on your tot. How have you gone about getting the name, you know, Darren Bradbury Protection Specialist, which is a real mouthful. it kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, don't forget it. That's the point.
So how have you gone about getting that out locally to the local communities, that kind of thing, you know, to
get myself out there?
Yeah, really. Sell insurance, basically.
Do you know what? You're right. From the point of view, 25 years, I was sitting at a desk and I was given client after client after client after client after client every day for 25 years. Never had to worry about it. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, now I've got to find my clients. What am I going to do? The charity stuff that I did last year, my challenge, that helped massively. That gave me a platform. Mm-hmm. If I'm honest, I've been on LinkedIn. I was on LinkedIn for 15 years and didn't have a clue why. But now I'm all of a sudden self-employed, and I thought, right, you know what? I'll post. And I've made some amazing friends and met some amazing people through LinkedIn. Mm. And then my wife's boss has been an active member of BNI, a networking group.
Yeah.
I think he's been in it for like 13 years. And he said to me, come along. And
that's because they won't let him out.
So, yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. He said, come along and sit in my meeting. We knew that because they've got an insurance broker, that I could never join his. But yeah, the idea was, go along, see if it was for me. And it was. I bought into it straight away. Mm. Networking is something I've never had to do. Never. I do it quite a lot now. Mm. But BNI, again, I've met some amazing people and made some really, really good friends from it. And along with the charity stuff and LinkedIn, because I'm posting an awful lot of rubbish a lot of the time.
You're posting a lot of stuff, which, you know, it is poignant. It's about, at the minute, is a lot to do with what we're going to talk about in the next part of the show. But some of the stuff that you have posted, and they've been quite hard hitting, from an insurance point of view, from a protection point of view. And it's like, you know, if you don't do this, then, you know, something's going to happen. You know, you might lose your house, you might lose this, you might lose that. Awful things that take place. I mean, I in all seriousness, going back to sort of the networking bit, I mean, I remember coming virtually to one of your BNIs and you were dressed up as Mrs. Brown.
Oh.
And I genuinely, I think I laughed and giggled all the way through it. And it scarred me.
somebody bet me that I wouldn't do it.
Well, they don't know you very well.
Yeah, the challenge was a donation, or the bet was a donation for my charity challenge. And I'm never going to shirk out of that. Not a chance.
It has mentally scarred me for life. But you know, we've touched on it a couple of times with regards to sort of the charity challenge. You did it last year. What did you do last year?
Again, it was just I can't even blame it on anybody else. These are all stupid ideas that I have myself. I met the charity through BNI, and it was really, really quiet, because nobody really wants insurance in December. You know, Christmas is coming up. So I said, right, I'll volunteer to deliver some Christmas presents for the charity. And these Christmas presents were little cardboard boxes that were maybe 8 or 12 inches across. And it might have had a soft Leicester City ball in there, might have had a little Leicester City flag. To the vast majority of kids nowadays, you know, that are getting 50-inch screen TVs and PlayStations. These presents were next to nothing in reality. But watching these kids' eyes, you know, their faces light up. As I said earlier on, it was just like somebody flicked a switch. So I thought, what could I do to help them? Because Memphis were 50 years old at the time. But COVID had obviously hit any celebrations or any fundraising coming in. So I thought, right, what can I do in the middle of a pandemic when we're not supposed to be with anybody else? And I came up with the idea of running, rowing, or cycling. The idea was to do a wolf run in July, first of all. And I thought, nobody's going to sponsor me to do a wolf run in July, six months away. So I decided from January the 18th to July the 7th, I think it was 6 months, every single day, to run, row, or cycle at least 3 miles a day. So the target was 501 miles. Yeah, that was the challenge, and no rest days, which was pretty stupid.
And you smashed it as well. So, you know, yeah. I take my hat off to you, mate. I really do.
Thank you.
And now you've come up with a ridiculous one, which we touched on earlier on. And Dave's waving at me now, so we're about to go in to do some adverts, which I think Dave this time is going to do the tango. Whilst we're doing the adverts, Dave, take us to the adverts.
Yeah, sure. Listen, Darren, thanks very much for that. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to this one. It's brilliant. That whole thing about moving from employment to self-employment always fascinates me. And, you know, does it strike the fear of God into you? Do you look forward to it? But sort of moving on through the insurance thing to why you're actually cycling ridiculous amounts of miles. Fascinating, mate. I love it. And I cannot wait to hear a bit more about the story when we come back. See you in a bit, folks. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport Business Show with me, Dave Johnson-Rayner, my much better-looking sidekick. So there's an insult in that and a few props to you then.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, it is. The best you'll get from me, anyway. And then,
amazing. How you did that tango all by yourself was just...
Yeah.
Oh, you just blow me away. If Strictly's listening, Dave Johnson's your man.
And moving on very quickly, of course, we're joined by the man that's putting sexy back into insurance, Darren Bradbury, even if he's got a sore bottom doing it. And those of you that have been with us since the start, we've been talking about Darren, his trip through employment into self-employment. How he established himself within self-employment by doing a number of things. And one of those was supporting a fantastic charity in Leicestershire called Memphis. And the next bit, we're going to find out a lot more about them. We've touched on them, but there's so much more to tell. And of course, Darren's an ambassador for Memphis, so which I applaud you for. We'd just like to know a bit more, I think, and share with our listeners the fantastic work that they do, Darren. I mean, I'm guessing you met them through, I think you said networking, didn't you, with BNI?
Yeah.
Then you decided you were going to do something for them through COVID. What's that kind of building of relationship been like? Has it been all fun and games? Or?
Do you know what? It's been nothing but amazing from start to finish. It's absolutely brilliant. When I came up with the first challenge, that sort of it just exploded. I didn't expect the traction that it got. I'm not, it's really weird. And John, you know this, when I'm talking about the challenges, I find it really difficult to talk about sometimes. I just do. I don't know why. But when it comes to asking people for money, I don't seem to have a problem with. And I was posting every day for 6 months asking people for money. And I set a target of £2,000. And over that 6 months period, it just spiraled. And we ended up raising literally just shy of £18,500 over that for that challenge. And then literally out of the blue, because of what I've done, the charity asked me if I'd like to become an ambassador. Clearly, they've not done their background checks. um, But there is nothing to worry about. Just backing that up.
You might need to clear that a little bit up. No skeletons in my closet.
So I became an ambassador, which is I find that difficult to sort of get my head round.
Because there's a few people that are ambassadors, aren't there, for Memphis? Not yes. Less. There's a handful. So
yeah,
let's check some names out there.
You have got Matt Piper, which is ex Leicester City footballer.
I might know him.
Yeah, Dean Hammond.
Yeah,
ex Leicester City footballer. Ashley Plumtree, which is currently the Leicester City women's captain. You've also got a gentleman called Louis Harrington, who is an ex-professional golfer.
Yeah.
Lovely chap. And then a gentleman that I've met over the last 12 months, Peter Higgins, who has raised a ridiculous amount of money for Memphis again. So I'm in some very... very good company, and when we're all in a room together, it's like it just makes me feel a little bit. I feel a little bit out of place. It's just something I never ever expected in a million years, and it's amazing.
I think as an organisation, I think they're brilliant. They've had their trials and tribulations over the years. I think that. Absolutely. I think that they've got an amazing space in South Wigston in the Bassett Centre. That is specifically designed to enhance, really. And give the opportunity to not just the children, but all the young individuals, but to the parents as well. It's a great coffee shop. There's a library. There's loads that goes on. And I know that we've been to a couple of events that have been hosted there as well. I really do take my hat off to, from the trustee board, CEO, all the way through the amazing team that's there. I really do take my hat off. But with every, with like any charity, they need that kind of support. And I I'm not saying this because I'm a very good friend of Darren's, but I think that what he has done last year and what he's doing this year is absolutely outstanding. And in fact, I put it so far as almost legendary, because he's providing a much needed requirement to this amazing charity, which is, they need some money, because without money, they cannot continue to provide the amazing services that they provide, not only to the young individuals, but for the parents as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. That means a lot.
You can pay me later. It's fine.
And you're...
Goodbye, guys, for him, Dan.
It's 100%. Some of the stats that I've learned over the past 12 months through Memphis are just amazing. 71% of families said their kids, families that have got kids with disabilities, said their kids do no physical exercise outside of school,
mm-hmm.
At all. And where Memphis, they have their activity clubs and their respite clubs. Mm. I went to one not so long back with Leicester Riders. It were, I think there was about 11 or 12 kids there, and took part. And I wasn't there as a sort of a guardian. I wasn't there as a one of the staff. I literally took part in everything that the kids were doing.
Mm.
And in order to put one child through a year's activity clubs, it's £1,000.
Mm.
And so Memphis do need people to, whether they just need people to raise money, irrelevant of how much it is.
Just so that we don't lose this in the middle of all this chat, what's the website for Memphis, so that people can go and check them out
and I'm going to double check it. It's www.memphis.org, I believe, and I am going to .org.uk.
So Memphis is spelled
M-E-N-P-H-Y-S.
Thanks, mate. Really, really appreciate it.
And sorry, I just need to get on my soapbox for a minute. How on earth can a charity that's been doing amazing things for 50 years still have to rely on a senior middle-aged person to jump on a bike to pay for a young person to get the support of an organization that cares deeply about that community? For me, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
I have no doubt.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm no doubt they get some funding. But why? Why do they have to rely on others to do that? It's absolutely wrong.
I think they do get some. I do know that they don't get masses and masses of funding. It's literally a case of what they do and how they get it in is predominantly through the amazing work of the team that's there. I really do. And the other thing for me is that I think this is probably that point that you've made there, Dave. It's a whole different radio show. I think that's something that probably the three of us could talk about quite considerably at length for quite some time. There's so many missteps that are made by communities, public sector, charities themselves, non-profits, about how they handle the funding and the financials. It's a whole different radio show.
Do you know what? There was another stat that shocked me as well that I found out. Only 5.6% of adults with learning disabilities in the UK are in paid employment. It beggars belief. It really does.
I'd like to say I'm shocked, but I'm not.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm massively disappointed. There are other words that we can use, but that's for a show that goes out after 9 p.m. I'm massively disappointed with that stat. I just don't understand it. I really, really don't.
However, that being said, there were two other things that you said there, Dave, that are not great, to be fair. Senior and middle-aged. I'm not happy with that.
Sorry, old age. There you go, is it?
He's only saying it because that's how you're feeling at the moment.
Yeah, I'm 49 going. I feel like I'm 89, mate.
I know. Just the other thing I wanted to sort of say as well is that I think that you do a remarkable job, not as in your day job. I really, truly do. Okay.
Thank you.
For all those, all those people that, don't like the insurance salesman, you've not spoken to Darren. In all seriousness, you need to take a few minutes to have a conversation with Darren. If they're going to do that, how are they going to get in touch with you, my friend?
The best thing is mobile or email.
Okay.
There is a website, but to be fair, mobile or email is the best ways of contacting me. Do you want the details?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mobile number is 07900 494339.
Yep.
And then email, you'll like this one. Darren Bradbury at advantage, H for Harry, F for Freddie.co.uk. So it's Advantage Home Finance. So Darren Bradbury at advantagehf.co.uk.
Cool.
Thank you.
Not forgetting your socials, because I think Instagram and LinkedIn. Instagram, you're quite active on, aren't you?
Instagram, I'm definitely getting more active on. There's Darren Bradbury Protection Specialist on Facebook. There's definitely Darren Bradbury Protection Specialist on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on the latter two. Instagram, I'm slowly becoming. I'm trying to get down with the kids and do a few videos with my daughter, but she doesn't want to be embarrassed by the old man.
I think the thing is that there's all of these bits that people can get contact with you, and I think the key thing with this is that the messages that you're putting out. A, from what you do as a day job, as a protection specialist, you're putting some amazing content out there, but you're also putting some great content about, your trials and tribulations on a bike, for putting some miles in the tank, as it were, to in preparation for your Thames to the Tyne challenge. Admittedly, you can't do anything this week because you're stuck in the Big Brother house. But I think what you're doing is absolutely brilliant, mate. I really, really do. I know that you've had some. Recently, you've had some brilliant people coming out and sort of going out and doing a few miles with you. I was going to come out with you on Saturday, which we've postponed to the following week until you're feeling a little better.
Yeah.
And then you'll take care of me and just do 2 miles. Yeah. We both know that's not going to happen.
You'll be in the car though, won't you, John?
No, I'm going out on the bike, mate. I've said I would, and I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have a laugh.
Yeah, we will. At the end, when I can breathe.
It's all good. It's tough, without a doubt. It's tough. This challenge is totally different to the last one, without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm expecting 3 days running where I'm going to be on a bike for 12 hours a day. And that, quite frankly, scares me to death. But so far, we've raised over £4,100. And I'm hoping in those 3 days that are coming... I don't mind admitting I'll be posting a lot of videos with a lot of tears, no doubt.
I honestly really truly take my hat off to the fact that, not just with the challenge, but the fact that after being employed for a long time, you've struck out on your own, and I think you do an amazing job anyway with the protection work. And you tell a good story when you, it's not just about you. It's about people like me, people like Dave, and protecting them. And then on the flip side of that, all the charity work that you're doing and being an amazing ambassador for Memphis, in good company as an ambassador as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. I really do.
So one quick question for me, because I think this might be quite handy seeing if you're fundraising at the moment. What is the best way to pledge money? Is it the website, or is it a Memphis website, or is it a different?
There's a Just Giving page. If you search Just Giving Thames to Tyne, or I'm pretty sure what I'll do is after this, I'll send you the link, but Just Giving Thames to Tyne, and you'll know that you're on the right link because there's a rather amusing caricature, if anybody's seen it, of my ugly mush with my big Chris Evans glasses on. So you'll know you're on the right website.
It's got a teeny tiny body and a big head.
Which is, there's nothing caricature about that, to be fair.
Well, I wasn't going to say.
I think there's loads that we can do. I think what I'd like to be able to do as well is that, firstly, you'll smash it. I really want to bring you back on after you've done it. I really want to bring you back on, and we'll have a bit of a chat. Probably have a couple of others on as well, and we'll just have a bit of a laugh and a giggle and a bit of a chat about the accomplishment that you've done. You might be asleep by the time you get to sort of Newcastle, and you'll probably be asleep for a week afterwards. But fair play to you.
My headline sponsor seems to think that we're going to have a good night out on the last night. I'm not so sure, to be fair.
Give them a quick shout out, Darren. Who's your headline sponsor?
It's Dav Mehet of TML Solicitors. He's been absolutely, all my sponsors have been phenomenal. But Dav Mehet of TML Solicitors, he's putting up a lot of money to put me in my hotels, to pay for my food, hospitality at Newcastle. Newcastle and Leicester City have both got involved now, which is amazing. I probably had to chew on Leicester in by telling them what Newcastle were doing. But the support has been nothing short of phenomenal.
Obviously, Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. The last hour's flown by. So thanks for sparing the time to chat to us. Get better soon. And good luck. And like John says, let's get you back on the show after you've completed the challenge. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, John.
Take care.
Thank you, Darren. All the best. Thank you, Jill. Take care, folks.
Bye-bye.